happened on the Sulaco? Why were our cryotubes ejected?
Stasis interrupted. Fire in cryogenic compartment. Repeat. Fire in cryogenic.
What happened? What started the fire, Bishop? Can you hear me?
The fire was electrical. It was in the subflooring.
Did the sensors pick up anything moving around on the ship prior to separation?
It's very dark here, Ripley. I'm not what I used to be.
Just tell me. Does the recorder indicate anything? Was there an alien on board?
Yes.
Is it on the Sulaco, or did it come with us in the EV?
It was with us all the way.
What the fuck?
Welcome to the Fabish Factor Film Podcast. I'm Kurt Fabish.
I'm Octavia Mangira.
I'm Zach Martin.
I'm Nick.
Something I want to kind of bring up, though, before we move on to Alien 3 is... Yeah. All right, Kurt. Alien. Name me some characters.
I think I see where you're going. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Ash, Ripley, Lambert, Brett Parker, Dallas, and King.
And someone else, name me some characters from Aliens. Anybody?
Well, we got Burke. We got Hicks. Napong.
Vasquez.
Corman.
Farrell. Burke,
Bishop,
Newt.
You know, if I were to take all those, everybody's names, and let's say just put like pictures and have names below them, you'd be able to match those up to probably 90% correct, right?
95%, absolutely.
Damn it.
Probably yeah. 100. I'm sure we could probably all do 100%. I mean, even
oh shit, I know where you're going with this.
Absolutely.
Oh, Alien 3. Let's get into
okay,
that.
Okay, hold on. I can do all the characters. You ready? We got Sigourney Weaver. Okay, we got the bald guy, and then we got Bishop at the end.
Yeah, okay, you got bald guy number one.
We got bald guy 1 through 32 with the English.
I mean, seriously, they all look the same.
There's bald black guy who has glasses. There's bald British guy. There's
sorry.
Yeah, that's the only distinction.
Tear tattoo on the face.
Yeah,
and that's what I kind of want to get into Alien 3. I know a lot of people right away are going to complain about Nukes and Hit getting killed.
Okay.
Which is a complete fuck you to the last movie because, again, you know how we talked about like AVP raping the whole thing with Alien and Aliens and all the other movies subplot with Weyland Yutani and the possibility of it going back to Earth. Aliens, the whole last 30 minutes was about saving this little girl. And yeah, they completely just say, hey, you know what, that last 30 minutes that you were invested in didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But the thing, though, my main problem.
It's annoying, you know? Who needs little kids?
Yeah. So yeah, I guess that's a good way to move into it. Okay, so
yes.
Alien 3 sucks.
This is Ripley, last survivor of the Nostromo. Signing off.
Alien 4. Yes. Let's get into Alien 4. Okay.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Alien 3. I guess.
Hypersleep dream.
Hypersleep dream. Okay, let's start off with this. You watch somebody go frame through frame of Aliens. You tell me where the hell did the queen lay an egg inside the Sulaco? Where did she do it?
I can explain this.
Okay.
Okay.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Here.
No, you
can't. The egg got there because the script said so.
Two eggs.
Two eggs got there, which we don't even see.
We only see one.
Because the screenwriter was really fucking drunk and wrote it in. That's how it got there. I mean, that's all I got. I can't spin it. I can't.
If it would have just been two facehuggers running around the ship, it would have been much more believable that, you know what, okay, I guess somehow that they were maybe holding on to the queen alien as she left the thing. Okay, I'll go with that. But they show one egg. They show one egg. In some part of the ship that we've never seen before, because when you actually look at what the actual architecture was of where this egg opened up, it doesn't match anything on the Sulaco.
That's
a completely
true.
Different architectural style.
Yeah.
Because I deal with that stuff at work all day. I kind of just laugh at that. I'm like, you guys show a ship with this, you know, one style of, you know, how it was designed and everything like that. And all of a sudden you're going to show something that's a complete grid work that doesn't even look like the Sulaco. But it's a cheap device. I mean, it's completely cheap. It's the fact that they wanted to make an Alien sequel and they just didn't care about the script or anything like that. They just wanted Sigourney Weaver back because they couldn't separate the fact that these movies aren't called Ripley.
Yeah.
They're called Alien, okay? There's, you know, having Ripley there, okay, you're going to I can see why they wanted it, but why couldn't they think out the box a little bit and say, you know what? There's so much more we can explore with this franchise that we don't need Sigourney Weaver back for it. Instead of paying
you
her,
really don't.
Instead of paying her $8 million for her role, which I don't even know how much she was paid. I just know she was paid a lot for this role. Reinvest that into something better CGI, better freaking costumes or something.
Oh,
it's
God.
Just it didn't. It the whole movie just didn't need to be the way it came out.
You saying the word CGI and referencing this film just
I mean,
I watched it yesterday. I watched it yesterday on the Blu-ray. Watching that CGI with the alien, I can fucking see the green screen outline.
Alien 3 was Alien 3 was nominated for Best Visual Effects. I don't know why.
What?
They suck. Okay. The CG.
How many blowjobs in the Academy did it take to get that nomination?
Quite a few.
How many blowjobs?
Yeah, that was... although, like, I think we're obviously laying into this movie. I think we should stop. Is there anything we did like about this movie? Because I have one. I think that the puppet we see of the alien, like, whenever we see a puppet of the alien, I think it looks good. When the alien, when it leans in to sniff Ripley, I think it looks good. They should have just kept going along with the puppet because that looks good.
Yeah.
The things I like about the movie, there are a few things, believe it or not. I know I've been one of the vocal people on this movie a lot, but I love the score. I think the score is great. I think
it's
eerily moody. I think the opening credits, even with the alien coming on and just how it doesn't make any sense, but it's so well shot.
It's the best scene in the movie.
Yeah, the way it's kind of closing in between the credits and then opening back up, and then you see the legs open up.
That is so creepy. It doesn't make any sense. Like, so is it like it's essentially sticking out its right legs? Whatever it is, it looks cool. It looks like a hand reaching up to grasp something. It looks cool.
It's to me that was kind of an homage to Geiger's. If you look at his Necronomicon book, there's a hand scene. There's a hand painting that looks just like that. I think that's kind of a callback to his artwork. But I think the opening credit stuff is fantastic. I think the score is incredible, and I like the religious type feel that you get with this. I mean, even when you watch the director's cut, you see stuff like crosses. They aren't crosses. I mean, they're just like, you know, scraps of stuff laying on a beach that look like a cross over the sun. I think stuff like that's great. And I like when Dylan is doing the kind of the eulogy for Hicks and Newt.
Yeah.
That's kind of cross cut between the birth. It's kind of like a death of another and out of the death comes a birth, you know, something like that, where, you know, out of the ashes comes, you know, a new life or something, kind of like a phoenix metaphor in a way.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Why are the innocent punished? Why the sacrifice? Why the pain? There aren't any promises. Nothing certain. Only that some get called, some get saved. She won't ever know the hardship and grief for those of us left behind. We commit these bodies to the void with a glad heart. For within each seed, there is a promise of a flower. And within each death, no matter how small, there's always a new life. A new beginning. Amen.
Amen.
And it's, I think all that stuff is great. It's just like, it's just great bits that should have been in a movie that was so much better, and it's like the rest, the sums of the parts of the movie are shit.
Like, this is a movie, this cast, this crew, if it had a good script, this could have been a great movie. Like literally, it's David Fincher. You know he would have made a good movie with a better script.
And there's so many cast members on here that are great. I mean, you got Charles Dance, I mean, who is in Game of Thrones.
The bald guy. Tywin.
Yeah, the bald English guy, who is... He's a great actor. I mean, you even got Peter...
Pete Postlewaite in his first movie.
And he is a fucking awesome actor. I mean, you see him later in some roles like Inception or The Lost World or something, and he's just always like the shining example of just like, this guy's an old English guy, but he's a fucking badass.
The old English bald guy?
Yeah, that one.
But it's just like, there's so many wasted actors in this movie.
Oh yeah, like this is, like there's not a bad actor in this movie. Like it's everyone in this movie did their job right except for the writers.
If I can get into that real quick, is the pre-production of this movie was a complete disaster.
Yeah.
They knew after Aliens hit the theater that it was a hit. That they were going to make another one right away. They wanted to get into it, but they just, I mean, it's Fox. Everybody knows what Fox is like. If it was a disaster,
why didn't they abort it?
Because they're not, because it's going to make money. It doesn't matter. If we're going to put out shit and people are going to pay to see shit, we're going to see it. I mean, even before we started doing this cast, I was talking about superhero movies and how 60% of those movies are shit. Well, 60%, 100% of those 60% make money. And that's what it's all about. It's a business.
Yeah, you got a point.
Make movie.
So what they actually started doing with this is they started, you know, shooting out scripts. This is when they went to guys like David Twohy and a few other guys. I can't think of their names right now. And a couple of them were out. One script didn't have anybody in it from the first movie. Didn't have Hicks, Newt, or Ripley. It was a completely different, plot and stuff. And it was a terrible script. I mean, the alien starts turning they start turning the alien into like a chameleon type creature, and.
Oh, so Predator took into this.
Well, it kind of goes back to the more like biomechanical type thing where the alien actually starts mutating with an actual spaceship, and the spaceship starts coming alive. Like, if you ever guys seen Akira?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Where Tetsuo starts to be a.
Yeah, it starts turning into that, and basically at the end of the script, the ship turns into a giant alien and tries. It's fucking terrible.
What?
That's a David Gibson's script, if I remember correctly. And I think it's related to Scott Gibson, but
William Gibson
or Gibbons, I don't know, whatever the English dude's name is on the forums. What's up, Scott? And then there's another script that they did, which was because they weren't sure if Sigourney Weaver was going to come back, that they actually put her character into a coma, and then it was just about Hicks and Newt. There's a couple other scripts. The Vincent Ward one was the one that was basically got their attention, where instead of it being a prison planet, it was actually a religious planetoid made of wood that was floating in outer space. And Ripley, same thing. Ripley's, Sulaco, whatever, ejects her and stuff like that. And she ends up on this wooden planetoid, and the alien ends up killing all these monks and stuff. And it's kind of out there and stuff, but that's where they took the original plot of Alien. Or Alien 3, and I don't know. It's just the movie had such a troubled production. They wanted to make it, and they didn't want to spend money on making it an Earth movie like was talked about, or making it another war movie. They wanted to do it on the cheap, but they wanted to get it out fast. And when you start mixing in all those elements, I mean, you're going to ask for a real crappy movie and stuff. And I give David Fincher all the credit in the world. He went into a movie that had a complete fuck-up of a pre-production, a complete fuck-up of a production, a script that was pretty shitty, and he made the most of it he could.
I mean,
I'm not going to lie. He did the best with what he was given, but what he was given just wasn't good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
studio fiddling.
Yeah,
That's what it was. I mean, Giller and Hill were the two guys who made Alien into the great movie it was, and their idea right away was, we're going to kill Nick and
Hick.
Newt
and Hicks off. You can see where I got it confused. Newt and Hicks.
Yeah.
They wanted to confuse I can't talk. They wanted to kill them off just to make it again like a Ripley movie, and it was just, I don't know. And then even Sigourney Weaver came in, and Sigourney Weaver, she hates guns. If you ever read any interviews with her, she's a complete like anti-gun activist. She hates guns. I mean, she didn't want to do Aliens because of the guns, but she went in and said, hey, there's going to be no guns in this movie, and you can see there's no guns in this movie.
Yeah,
but I think
I mean,
even in the end, though, the guns are portrayed in a way that the guns are killing the people there. They're not even killing
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the guns, three gunshots and one gets hit in the leg, and that's it.
And then even, I want to bring up the fact, too, when she actually signed up to do Aliens, when she was talking to James Cameron, she had a couple requests. One was no guns, which obviously didn't happen. No. Two was she wanted to die. And then three was she wanted to have sex with an alien.
Yeah.
The fuck? No!
Yeah, but the thing is, though, when she became a producer, she was a producer for Alien 3. She was a producer for Alien Resurrection. And those things happened. Alien 3 had no guns like she wanted, and she wanted to die, and she died in Alien 3, and then Alien Resurrection, what does she do? She has sex with an alien.
Yeah.
You know what? I keep hearing that, like, yeah, she had sex with an alien. When did she have sex with an alien? Or talking about the facehugger?
No, she had sex with an alien in there. At least that's what it was implied after she was sucked down.
That's
in
what
the...
I got. Yeah, remember she fell down and...
She was spooning the alien the whole way back. I always took it as that's what they were doing.
I guess I gotta watch it again.
It's like fading in, fading out.
The Alien Queen gave birth to a half human, half alien. But we'll get into that. I guess the Alien Resurrection. But
yeah,
Alien 3. Yeah, it's not a good movie.
Yeah. Also, okay, I was watching this movie and I was just coming up with so much stuff. I had to write some of it down. I was thinking of like the pros and cons of this movie. There's very little pros. The things I liked about the movie was the opening credits and the eulogy scene. I do like that there aren't any guns, that they have to come up with different ways. They have to come up with something to kill these this one alien, whether it's fire or luring it somewhere. Like, they have to use, like, it's all about strategy rather than brute force. I like that. That's not bad. But basically, that's it. I mean, all the bad stuff in the movie. I mean, killing off Newt and Hicks is just... I mean, I can see them doing it, but they did not have to do it so horribly. Like, why couldn't they just... I think it would have been better if Ripley landed on the planet by herself and she was just alone. You didn't have to kill off a 12-year-old girl or an 8-year-old girl. I mean, that's all.
And then dissect her for...
That was... I mean,
minutes later.
That's horrible.
That just throws insults. I mean, just that's just rubbing salt into the wound. And, you know, I've heard arguments even on the forums and stuff, like, you know, oh, it's realism and stuff. Life's not pretty and everything.
Yeah.
Like that. You know, that's not what they were going for. I'm sorry.
You know
sorry.
What? When I look at Alien, I don't really think, oh, yeah, realism.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I mean, no, if they had set that up in the first one, then it would be like, oh, well, okay.
That's not what they were getting at in this movie. It wasn't like, we're going to shock you with realism because this would happen. I'm sorry, the fact that Ripley was the only survivor of that actually makes it less realistic.
Yeah, like, I was also thinking about this while I was watching the movie. I mean, okay, so on the Sulaco, there's a fire and the cryo tubes detach and land on the planet. That implies to me that the Sulaco's pods were meant to do that. These are things that are meant to jettison from the ship and land somewhere. So I don't understand how they landed in water and they just completely, they broke. And everything inside that ship died except for Ripley. How did water get let into the pod? How did Hicks die the way he did with his face smashed open? How did Ripley not die in that crash?
Because the script said so.
Exactly.
Well, the reason I'm going to do a little bit of spinning for the movie, there actually is a reason why Newt drowned and then Ripley didn't, was the facehugger originally impregnated Newt. That was what, if you watch the beginning of the movie, I don't know, does this show Ripley's face? I think it shows Ripley's face when the thing's breaking into the thing.
Yeah,
but originally, it was supposed to be Newt that the alien went into, and then obviously would have to burn a hole into her cryo tube to get into it, which would cause it to fill up with water when it gets submerged. And then apparently what was supposed to happen was the alien came out of Newt's mouth and then went into Ripley's mouth to save itself because Newt was drowning. How that happened with this, you know, fact is that it could get into Ripley's cryo tube and now that's not going to be exposed to water is beyond me. The fact that now we're adding another additional element that the facehugger can unimpregnate itself and then it re-impregnate itself into another host is beyond me. And
yeah,
even that's all borrowed from the Vincent Ward script.
I think
the Vincent Ward script, that's kind of one of the things, is that Ripley had the thing in her mouth and she ends up kissing some guy later in the movie and the alien goes into the other guy's thing through a kiss.
Yeah.
It's pretty
what?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I just think Alien 3, I mean, you know, like we have to, you know, I think it's bad storytelling the way that Ripley, I mean, just because she happened to be asleep, that's why the facehugger.
Well, it's complete happenstance.
Yeah.
It just so happened to be an alien egg on there. It just so happened that it got out. It just so happened that an electrical fire that was unrelated to the alien started at the same time. It just so happened that they ended up going onto this prison planet. It's just so, you know, everything is just, you know,
it just so
happens.
Happened. Camille picked up Bond outside the hotel, you know.
Yeah.
It just so happened that there was another
facehugger in
there.
I'm still pissed off about
there.
That.
There was just, it just so happened that a dog was in the freaking EVV when the facehugger decided to show itself. You know, it didn't show itself to the other people that were in there, because I guess now the facehugger can move around and plan its attack on these people. It's all a bunch of happenstance.
Yeah, I mean, like a facehugger is a strong creature. It would have been able to go on one of those guys that investigated the
and
ship.
And that's the whole point of the facehugger, is the fact that once it's on, you ain't getting it off. It wouldn't be scared. It wouldn't be like, oh, I got to plan out my thing perfectly. It's like, no, you jump on a face, wrap your tail around the thing, and if they're going to rip it off, you're going to strangle the guy to death and you're going to rip his face off with
it. I mean, this is the movie that, I mean, the attitude of this movie is, if that happened, we would literally see them try to saw off a guy's head. That's the kind of misery this movie is. I mean, it's just so depressing.
No, this is thoroughly depressing.
And yeah, all the people who like this movie, they do tout the whole thing of, well, life's not fair and so on. But it's just like, well, it's a movie. Why does this movie... I mean, Alien is not a happy movie. Aliens is... It only has the happy, last 2 minutes.
I'd say minute.
Even that, though, it's like your main character, guess what? She still doesn't have her real daughter. She died because of this thing. And this little girl, she doesn't have her family. Yeah, they happen to find a little bit of solace in each other. But guess what? Their lives are going to be fucked for the rest of their lives. I mean, it's not even really a true happy ending. It's just like a momentary peace, it's not going to be a happy ending for them.
Yeah, I guess. And also, another thing is, in these movies, a facehugger comes, how long did it take from the facehugger landing on Kane to the thing coming out of his chest? What's the gestation period?
It's a little over 24 hours.
See, now, they specifically...
The facehugger was on Kane for 24 hours, and then you can take it for wherever you will, maybe like 3 or 4 hours since the time that Kane woke up to the time they ate dinner,
Yeah. But in this movie, they specifically say Ripley, by the time she wakes up in this movie, she's implanted, and they say it's going to take a week for the rescue crew to get here, and it's a week it takes for the thing to come out of her chest, and that's breaking the rules of these alien movies.
And the whole spin that people will give you is, it's a queen, it needs longer to develop. I mean, no, that's... Sorry. Okay, it's
how come it's a queen? What distinguishes it to being a queen?
If these things were basically touted as interstellar ants or bees or whatever, and if you know stuff about them, is the fact that they're all born the same. It's only in the lack of a queen that one would come up and be able to give its be able to transform itself into a queen at a certain part of its life. So that's what I always viewed that the aliens were, is that in lack of a queen, one would designate itself to become a queen and transform into one. It's just, it doesn't make any sense the way that they do it. I mean, I don't know. Again, it all comes back down to what Zach was saying. The plot says so. The script says so.
See, if you're going by that logic, though, then the gestation period between the one in Alien should have been longer. Because since that was the only one, then it would be a queen. And that just, it doesn't, oh, fuck it. I just, know.
Yeah.
It's a plot device. That's all it is. It's just
I think Alien 3 would only, here's the thing about Alien 3. I mean, I've heard this, and I can go with this, is that Alien 3 is a good movie, but a horrible sequel. Let's say you took Alien 3, that story of take away the alien, replace it with, say, a werewolf, or a vampire, or a ghost, or something. I think that Alien 3 would be a decent movie. But as a sequel to, coming off of Aliens, it's just so weak. Like, the last movie was an action movie. We're going from horror to action back to horror again. And it's not good. It's the transition is, it's not very good.
I made that same comparison with Wreck, Wreck 1 and Wreck 2, and then Wreck 3, Genesis, on the disaster that is. On that is a good zombie movie if you remove Wreck from it.
Yeah, also another thing, I was watching Alien 3 and I was thinking during a lot of these scenes, god damn, that movie is violent. Like, there is so much blood.
Yeah, a lot of blood and gore.
I mean, I think of the autopsy scene, it's like, gee, that's so bad. But then I think of the guy falling into the fan. I'm not easily offended at all. I can take all the violence in the world, but I saw that, and the guy falling into the fan is like, that is too much. If there's a line, that's the line. And when he got chopped up and strands of muscle is splattered all over the place, it's just so, it's too much.
Let us stop this mindless violence.
I don't mind that.
For me, I felt like it was done in excess. You know, it's kind of like we didn't have to see it. You didn't have to hold on to that as long as you did. You know,
yeah.
We get the idea. You know, show us a little blood, sure, but not that much.
I mean, yeah, I mean,
I think they might have been making up for the fact you ain't going to see any aliens getting blown up and stuff, so they got to kind of, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be an even, you know, even between, you know, Drake getting his face clobbered in acid and then an alien getting its head broken underneath a freaking wheel. I think it's because I mean, you're not going to see any human on alien violence. It's going to be violence, and then you even get human on human violence in the movie. And that's my big issue with the movie is you get these guys and they try raping Ripley.
Yeah.
You know, they try raping Ripley, and then I'm supposed to feel fucking sorry for these guys or guys in the end. It goes back to a slasher movie mentality where I'm like, fucking kill these guys. I don't give a shit. Splatter. I want to see that door come down and that guy get his body ripped open. I want to see that guy go into the fan. I want to see that guy get his head bit out. All these guys are scum of the earth. And not even that, the fact that you learn that all these guys are murderers and rapers to begin with. And it's like, yeah. I don't have any sympathy for these guys. These guys aren't military guys just following orders who got fucked over because their general's an idiot. These guys aren't a crew that got sent down to a spaceship and basically said, hey, if you don't go on the spaceship, you guys ain't going to make any money. I mean, these people, the first two movies, they're relatable people that you remember, people that you know, the type. I mean, anybody in those movies, you can relate to someone in your real life too.
Yeah.
And these people here are just fucking scum of the earth. And it's like, again, you can sit there and be like, well, that's the kind of movie they want to show you. This movie was directly about Ripley and her end of life struggles and stuff and how she lost everything. It's just like, no, you know what? Save that bullshit, because the first two movies have so much more depth and substance to them, and this movie just completely gets rid of that and just throws in a bunch of fucking cheap horror movie cliches, and it's just a shitty fucking sequel to a movie. And even I think if it would be a ghost or a werewolf or fucking Michael Jackson running around in those goddamn tunnels, I don't even think it would even be a good movie with that. There's so many problems in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, this is a movie you really got to stretch to find some good stuff about it. I mean, I watched this movie. Here's the bottom line of this movie. Aliens, I had a blast. Alien 3, I had no fun whatsoever. I mean, it's a horror movie. People die in Aliens and everything, but I had fun. There's no fun to be had in Alien 3.
I will say, I only have like really one thing I kind of liked, and then I started to hate it, was the first person scenes of the alien chasing the guys through the hallways, and it's going through like on the roof and the ceiling and the walls.
Yeah.
That was cool at first, and then it got annoying because they just kept using it.
Yeah, I mean, like, they even get into this on the DVD. That's one of the things I love about the DVD is they're pretty honest on all of those documentaries about the problems they had making these movies and the problems with the finished product. And, like, in Alien 3, they talk about how, in terms of just film geography, you don't know where you are. It's not easy to distinguish one bald head from another guy, and they all have British accents, and they're all wearing the same clothes too. I mean, there's one scene where Pete Postlethwaite and another guy are each holding a torch in the same hand, and you could very easily confuse them for the other guy.
That's why I said it's like the bald English guy.
Yeah,
there are no characters. It's this. They're just fodder.
Well, that's another thing too. You know that the ending scene with them in the tunnels, that could be, you know, it's obviously a callback to Alien and Aliens, because everything is with tunnels and stuff, you know,
and corridors, air
ducts, corridors. But again, here's a stroke of brilliance that Aliens and Alien had. You had a motion detector in there to help the audience know what was going on, and it's like you could have easily they could have added something in there like that to have the audience understanding where the alien was, or at least have some idea where the alien was, but where the people were and what they were trying to do. As far as you know, they were just running around blindly shutting doors, and it's like, okay, I'm kind of understanding that you're trying to lead this thing to an area where you're gonna dump hot lead on it, but I don't understand the method you're going out to do this. You know, I don't understand how you're trying to push the alien over there, because to me it seems like you're pushing the alien towards it, then you're shutting the door in front of it, and what is that doing?
Yeah, I mean, another thing is Ripley, she's told she's got a face, she's got an alien inside of her, it's going to kill her. What is stopping her from, the instant you're told, hey, you got an alien inside of you and you're going to die, what's stopping her from jumping into the steel right then and there, or shoving a knife into her neck right then? What is stopping her?
A script.
Well, I think she realizes. Yeah. I don't think it would be a little bit of credit. I think she's realizing that her life's done. It's over. I don't think she really cares because she's lost everything. I mean, she lost her daughter. She lost Newt. She's lost everything. And the last thing she wants is for this company to win. And it's like, yeah. I think she realizes the best hope, the best chance they have at killing this thing is for her to be alive and then actually use the alien not wanting to kill her for the advantage of the people there. You know, use that as the advantage for them to kill this thing. So I can kind of see that. I mean, but then again, she did want Dylan to kill her, if you remember back, is that yeah. she told him to go take an axe to her, you know, and she put herself up against her because she probably couldn't do it herself, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, I do like Charles S. Dutton in this movie. I think he does give a good performance. I mean, I buy him. I think if you know anything about him, he kind of is that guy. I mean, he doesn't kill anyone, but I think he's been in prison. Like, he is one of those actors who is as tough as the characters he plays. And I find him kind of scary. Any scene where he has to be violent, like, you know, I think he's a kind of a frightening guy.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think he did a good job with what he had to do there. And I kind of like, you know, at the end, too, where... You know, all the other guys, prisoners are going to be running around doing this. And Ripley's like, where are you going to be? He's like, I'll be around. You know, he's going to be the manager, the one overseeing everything and watching everybody. Cause even though he understands that, you know, he should be out there sacrificing himself, and he is in a way too, but he's obviously the alpha male. He's obviously the one in charge, obviously the one who knows more and is smarter than everybody else, that he's got to kind of be that manager position. You know, he's got to be the one that's going to take command. He's kind of the Hicks in this movie. You know,
kind of, yeah.
The alpha male to Sigourney Weaver's, you know, character.
Yeah, I mean, Alien 3, I mean, I think I've said all I can say about Alien 3. I mean, it's not a, I wouldn't call it a forgettable movie. But it's just, I mean, it just when you compare it to the first two movies, it's just, it's pretty weak. It's like a 6.5 out of 10, I'd give it.
No, it's anything but forgettable. I mean, it's almost like a bad car accident that you see on the way home from work where it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I saw what I just saw. I feel freaking terrible. And that's the thing I got from everybody who left that movie was they just, I mean, Aliens, you felt exhausted, but at least you know you saw a good movie. Alien, it ended on, you know, a little bit of a happy note with Ripley going there, so you felt good about it and everything like that. And you knew what type of movie it was going to be, with a horror movie. You're used to the one survivor type thing.
Yeah.
But Alien 3, it's like the whole first part of the movie is with them killing off Hicks and Newt. It's a punch to the nuts. And
yeah.
It's something that you honestly, the whole movie, you don't get over. You're just kind of like... Fuck, man, they killed them off. And then half hour later, you're still thinking, fuck, they killed those characters off. And then later in the movie, you're just like, again, I don't care about these characters. I cared about the other characters.
Yeah.
And they killed them off, man. Fuck you. I don't care about this shit. And then you walk out the movie with Ripley killing herself saying, okay, they killed off every character I liked. Some serial killer rapist makes it out alive. Weyland-Yutani hasn't been taken down. They just ended up losing their alien. The man still being the man. I don't feel good. This is depressing. And it's just... It's a depressing movie, and save the whole, it's realism. It's what real life is. Fuck you, it's not.
Yeah. But I just think, like, you come out of Aliens, you if you heard the conversations of people, you would hear words like awesome and cool and amazing. You wouldn't hear any of those words coming to Alien 3. It would just be like there's no moments where you can cheer. And also, they point this on the DVD, it's a horror movie. I don't think it's not scary. Like, there's no frightening moments to me in Alien 3.
No, it falls into the same, like I said, with the slasher movies.
Yeah.
You know, and Freddy wasn't scary anymore. And it's a lot of us to do because we've already seen the alien to exhaustion at this point. We already, in Aliens, we've seen how many aliens, we saw the alien queen. There's nothing more they're going to show us. So they kind of strip everything that we were kind of expecting with it being, I mean, even the trailer, I mean, on Earth, everybody can hear you scream. They were hinting that it was going to be on Earth.
Yeah.
So you had no reason to think, like, this movie is going to be another military type thing, and that's what we want to see. They strip it away trying to bring it back to Alien, but you can't at that point. You can't because you can't bring it back to the mystery of it. And I don't know. It's just, like, I think the one word that describes the whole movie is just depressing. It's just, I think that's the perfect word to describe Alien 3.
Yeah.
But would it be any word?
I use the word bad.
Yeah, no, but would this movie have been any worse if it were directed by Rennie Harlan, who was one of the directors that was slated before David Fincher took over?
I think it wouldn't look as good as Alien 3 looks. I know that.
I think what we got is the best version of Alien 3 we're going to get. I really believe that.
That's true. Alien 3 goes down with, like, I haven't seen The Godfather 3, but based on what I hear, Alien 3 goes down in the list of movies that just should never have been made.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just not like it's another example of, you know, Fox just fucking it up and just, you know, thinking with their money, thinking with their wallet instead of thinking with their brains and everything. And if you guys even hear the story of Aliens, how that came to be, as far as, you know, Aliens was the project that Arnold made. Arnold Schwarzenegger, because they were going to do Terminator, and basically Arnold got called back to do Conan 2. And Ridley, not Ridley Scott, James Cameron had 8 months off before production was going to begin on the Terminator, so he actually took up the writing assignment for Aliens. And Fox, he only got done with 90 pages of the script. He was only halfway done with the script, but Fox loved his script and said, you know, we're going to wait for you. We're going to wait for you to be done with Terminator, and if Terminator's a success, we'll actually give you the directing job. They did everything right for Aliens, and they did everything wrong for Alien 3.
Pretty much.
And it's amazing how a company can just switch like that from, you know, Aliens not being able to turn out the way it did is just a stroke of luck that, you know, Arnold got called up, Cameron was looking for a writing assignment right when Fox was looking to do Aliens. I mean, it was amazing that that even happened. And then Alien 3, they had all the time in the world to do it.
Yeah.
And it took them a bunch of years. It took them, what, 6-7 years to do it. But they just were fucking it up on every chance they could get. And Finch, that's why Fincher walked. Fincher walked during, I think, post-production of the movie and just said, I ain't doing this, you know.
Yeah, he's disowned the movie. If you ask him about it, he's disowned it. He didn't do the commentary. He didn't take part in the documentary footage. He's disowned that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't blame him.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
So where do you take the Alien series after Alien 3? So it's a depressing ending.
Yeah.
It's a movie that was, I believe it made a profit. It wasn't the hit that Aliens was.
I think it cost about $50 million. It made $100 million or $150 million maybe, but
it's still not the hit that they expected, because Fox at that time, they have just put out, like, you know, Die Hard 2 and stuff like that, which wasn't really that big of a hit, I don't think. And they had a
$63 million budget with a gross worldwide gross of $159 million.
Yeah.
So it was a hit, but Fox was expecting this to be huge. I mean, Fox, that's what they wanted. They were expecting Alien 3, because you look at, like, what Aliens did. Aliens only cost, like, what, $18 million or something, $20 million, mm-hmm. and it made back over $100 million.
Yeah,
and then they're probably expecting the same type of gross. You know, five times what it costs is what we're going to make back. So they're probably expecting a $200 million movie and everything like that, just probably, you know, United States gross, and they didn't get that. Nope. With this movie. So that's why it sat on the shelf for a long time. And then what do you do? Because Fox made the decision to make Ripley bigger than Aliens at this point.
Yeah.
So what do you do? You kill off your main character.
Yeah. Where else do you go other than
begun? The Clone War has